everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community call for the month of February 2018. This is our Q&A call where you can come and ask any questions that you'd like, well, most any questions that you like. I may put a limit if we get some weird questions. But anyway, this is where we get together. I want to welcome anybody that's new to the Vital Health the Vital Community and say welcome. And these are calls where you just come and ask your questions pertaining to whatever's going on. People in this program in Vital tend to be across the board. Some are just in Vital. Some are in our other programs. Some are in the Sweet Spot program, our Blood Sugar Balancing program, which we just are closing registration for tonight. So who would like to ask a question, make a comment, share a success, share a resource, get support, etc.? So there's a place where there's questions. You can type them in, or what I really prefer is if you raise your hand and do a star 2, and that way we can chat. That's my favorite part. I'm going to go to the Q&A that's been typed in advance and just answer those questions first, and then I'll come over and answer it. And Sandra writes that last time we spoke, you and Lynn recommended milk thistle, seed powder, and rose hips. Would be better if I do a tea, or can I just do the powders in my smoothie? With milk thistle, you cannot do a tea. Milk thistle doesn't make a good tea. Milk thistle is not extractable in water. It needs to be extracted in alcohol. So what I recommend you do is either you get the milk thistle seeds and you grind them up and you put them in your smoothie, or even better is a milk thistle seed extract, or easier actually, I should say, milk thistle seed extract. It's already a powder. The seeds are hard, so it does take a little doing to break them down, but they do break down. The other way I use them is I make gomasio. Gomasio is a kind of a macrobiotic herb blend, and you basically typically they just take sesame seeds and put in salts or salt and seaweed or other herbs. I like to make a liver lover gomasio, and you can make this and keep it in your fridge and use it whenever you want to and sprinkle it on your soups and salads and veggies and whatever else. And that would be made by grinding up some sesame seeds and or flax seeds if you want, and then taking the milk thistle seeds and grinding them up too, and then you could add a little bit of turmeric, good liver support, and a little bit of salt, a little bit of seaweed, and you got an amazing spice blend, or seasoning blend, I should say, and then you put it on whatever you want to. But in terms of the milk thistle, that's the way to do it. In terms of rose hips, you can actually get the rose hips and grind them up in your smoothie, or you can do a tea, either way. But the milk thistle, you can't do a tea. It's an old grow up. All right. Judy says, my antibodies are 472 and 83. I'm thinking about, thyroid antibodies. I've removed mostly all gluten from my diet, recently lost over 35 pounds on BLE, but those numbers actually worsened over a three-month period. Well, anyway, without knowing a whole lot more, I can't really give you, a solution to this, Judy, but the thing is that mostly getting off gluten-free when you have Hashimoto's, which is what it is when you have numbers like that, is not acceptable. You have to be 100%. Every single drop, even a tenth of a piece of bread, a little tiny crouton, a little itty-bitty thing, that has been shown to elevate the antibodies. When you get off of gluten for 6 months, then you might see some drop. I don't know how long ago you dropped gluten from your diet, right? But who knows, right? And those things go up and down, so you have other exposures as well. Leaky gut, you've got heavy metals that can do it, stress levels, so there's a lot that goes into it. But if anybody out there has Hashimoto's, anybody out there has thyroid antibodies, or any autoimmune disease, I highly recommend that you just remove 100%, because I've looked at studies where they've just taken, this little crumb of a bread, and that person would get aggravated. So, take it seriously. Take it seriously. And if you're on BLE, you're not really on BLE if you're eating bread. Right, if you're eating gluten, because, that's not, usually it's flour. So, anyhow. All right, so I'm going to go back to the conference line, and I see that Elena has her hand up, but I'm not sure if it was a hand up because who told me she could hear you because she has a question. So, hi, Elena. Little Rock.
Hi.
Hi.
It was that I could hear you.
It was, you could hear me. Okay. Well, now that I have you on the phone, what do you want to talk about? I'm kidding you. Putting you on the spot. If you don't have anything to talk about or ask me, we can move on. You good?
No, let's just move on right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, raise your hand, star two, and I will answer your questions, give you support, be here for you in any way, shape, or form I can. I see Cece and Ellen and Lynn and Lynn Rose and Judy on the chat. I see that we have, let me see, 13 of you are hanging out on the web and another 12 of you are on the phone. So what do you want to talk about? I see Karen. Hi, Karen Osborne. How are you? I'm going to catch up with her. How are you? How's your leg doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. I'm exercising while I'm listening.
Good for you. How's it doing? How's the leg doing?
It's pretty good. I'm 10 degrees away from having it straight, and then a little more than that away from good flexion. But it's bending more.
Yay. I'm excited.
I'm walking some. I can walk without the cane sometimes.
Yay. Boy, this has been a long time. Was this in September? Wasn't it September when you did it, or was it August?
It was September. But I'm on a Facebook page with all these people from around the world that had the same break. A lot of them had both bones break.
Yeah.
It's a long process. I mean, there's people that have been working on it. You know, it could be up to 2 years before you get back to
normal.
Some of them are at 3 and 4 years, and they're still having pain and stuff. But I think I'm doing pretty well.
Who would have known that? How the heck did you find a Facebook group? I mean, you use Facebook groups about common things, but about a kind of a bone break? That's...
It was the Tibial Plateau. It's called the Tibial Plateau Recovery Group or something like that. But I was doing a demo in Wheatsville, and this guy came up and was asking me what happened, and I told him, but I didn't tell him where I was. And he said he had a neighbor that the same thing happened to her at Redbud Isle, which is where I was. But it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and so he fixed me up with her, and we had lunch, and she got me on his Facebook page.
Oh, my goodness. Who would have known? There's a Facebook page for everything. Is there a Facebook page for toenail fungus, too? It's crazy.
Probably.
That's probably a much more common thing than a tibial plateau. Wow. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that you're doing better. I haven't seen you in so long.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm coming to the potluck.
Yay. Good. I get to see you. Awesome. Macadamia nuts? Is Craig ordering macadamia nuts?
Craig doesn't order them. I order them, and he orders cashews.
I thought he said that he found some place in Africa or whatever that he was going to order cashews.
Oh, yeah.
Macadamia.
You want those? Because those are more expensive than Max nuts.
For those of you who we have a co-op in here, those of you who live in or around Austin, we do a food co-op. Now, we don't ship. We just buy and we pick up. But we get great deals and we get great quality because we buy in bulk. And, you know, you save on shipping and all that. And Karen organizes it. And we have this great guy in Hawaii who it's called. He's actually called Max Nuts. And he sells Mac Nuts, the macadamia nuts. And they have great, great, great Mac Nuts. They're so fresh and so delicious. And we get them reasonably priced because we order them, like, what, 25 pounds at a time or something. So if any of you are in Boston, every last Saturday of the month, almost every month, we do a little potluck. So even if you're, you know, from Houston or whatever, you can drive out there, hint, hint. And we have a great time. And we hang out, and it's all health-conscious people. We do a raw foods potluck. And people say, well, why do you do a 100% raw foods potluck? Because not everybody, and I said, because it's hard to get people to follow guidelines when you say you can add raw plant, non-raw plant-based foods, and then suddenly we end up, you know, with fake meat products and tofu and, you know, tempeh and seitan and all that kind of stuff. So it got harder. So we started out as a raw food potluck, and we've just kept it that way. And it's great. I mean, I don't mind if somebody brings some steamed vegetables in, but, you know, I want to be able to control the quality. And when I go to adjust a plain plant-based one that doesn't have guidelines, it's kind of scary because some of the foods are pretty scary. So anyway, that's why we do it. And, I love raw foods. I eat 90% of what I eat is raw foods, except in the winter when I eat a lot of soups that are cooked. But most of the time, that's what I eat, and I find that it's very nourishing and really great. So some people do great on a 100% raw foods diet. Some people do great on a 90 or 80. I think that most people would be best served to do 80% or more of their diet in uncooked living foods, except if you've got a really bad GI tract that doesn't handle it well, or there's other complicating factors where you have to have more in a cooked fashion. So, anyway, thank you, Karen. Anything else? Anything you want to add?
Oh, well, I think having just raw, it's fun for people who are learning raw to see all the different possibilities when you have that parameter on there.
Right, exactly. Karen and I both used to do 100% raw. We both have not done that. We just find we do better with a little bit of cooked food in our diets. But I agree with you because the creativity that comes out when you – and they look up these recipes and they come up with these awesome desserts and crackers and things that are like the common, you know, like crackers, right, made of flax and chia and things like that, that we actually can eat without it being a blood sugar problem or – you know, being a gluten problem and all that. So we had fun with it. So anytime you're in town, we've had people from out of town. Is Sandy on today? Sandy came and visited us and did the potluck. She's from California, but she was in town, and it's cool and it's fun, and we just hang out. So thank you. Glad you're doing better, and I hope to see you Saturday.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, I don't see any other hands up, guys. Raise your hands. Lauren, is there a glucose meter that you recommend? Yeah, in our sweet spot, we have this really cool chart. I spent about a week poking my fingers and spent a few hundred dollars buying and testing a bunch of meters. The one I recommend is my favorite. It's called True2Go, and they don't make it anymore. So there's a whole bunch of them on that. So if you're in the sweet spot program, you can go and, you know, download that chart and figure out which one fits your budget and availability. I wish there was some that didn't require you to prick. There is a little sensor that it actually does prick under the skin, but you attach it to your arm, and then there's a little meter. The problem with those is the cost. They're like $600 to $700 to purchase, and then the packs, that, you know, I don't remember exactly what they call them, but there's this thing you have to replace that on a regular basis, and it costs a couple $100. So it could actually cost you a couple $100 a month, or maybe every 2 months if you're really careful and you spread it out. That's unacceptable for most people. And if you can't afford it, great. You buy it, you wear it. I've been wanting to get one just, you know, to have as a loaner to check it out. But I'm just kind of waiting for the price to come down. Not so much of the unit. I wouldn't mind spending, you know, $800 or $1,000 even to get the unit. But it's the disposables, you know. I like to test a lot when I'm doing a program, when I'm trying to monitor, and it could be very, very cost prohibitive. They keep talking about one that's going to use saliva and another one that's going to use tears, and I don't think they've perfected the technology because every year I read an article about them and then nothing happens. So, yep. And the finger prick, let me tell you, Lauren, is just so gentle. You know, I poke my finger all the time. Somebody said they didn't want it. They didn't think they could do it because they're a massage therapist. And I find that, I mean, I've done a lot of body work in my days and chiropractic work, and it doesn't really bother me. So, and you know, it gets good after a while. It just feels like a little prick. Not a big deal. All right. Be well. Go over to the phone. Now I have a bunch of, yay. So I've got, I'm going to read out who I've got, and we'll go in that order. I've got Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm not sure who that is. Cell phone Waterbury. I don't know if that's lower or, and then I have Valerie, and then I have Cece, and then I have Rich. So I'm going to start with cell phone Waterbury, Connecticut. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Tamari. That is me.
No. I knew you moved. Cell phone. All right.
I kept my number for now. I just want to give you good news. I was looking for Pectasol C and planning to get it from U.S., but I found a place here in Canada, and their prices are higher, you know, because they're in Canada, but he gave me the same price as in U.S. because I spoke to the owner, and so maybe you can, you know, I was thinking maybe you can get together for your students here in Canada, and then they could have a similar price.
So what do you mean, get together?
I get together with the owner, like if it, you know, so that the Canadians can have a good
negotiated a price, and you're saying maybe.
Because in U.S. you get, if you buy four bottles, you get one, if you buy three bottles, you get one free. But often when you buy more than $300 American, you get 30% off. So it comes out to $239 instead of like $500 Canadian. So it's probably $100 extra.
Well, here's what I would recommend, because I don't have the time or the resources to start calling up people in Canada and arranging that for people. But I would highly recommend if you can post it in the Vital community, and then people can kind of call and negotiate the same way you did.
Okay.
Okay? It's not something I like doing or have the time to.
Yes, I understand. Okay. And but just in case someone listens here and is from Canada, the company is called Promedics.ca.
Right.
Yeah.
You put it in the chat, we'll get posted with this call, too.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Because I'm very touched that he gave me the same price as in U.S. So, okay, so my question, let me see. Oh, let's see. I have to move a few. Okay. So it's regarding moving motility. So I'm aware that if we gargle, if we sing, it moves the mobility, especially starting from the small intestine. Well, that's what I'm interested in, to move the SIBO out of there. But how long does one need to do it to have an effect of motility?
You mean how long, like for what duration when you're doing it, or for how many months?
Oh, no. So let's say I'm gargling it.
Okay, so here's what I've been doing. You gargle and you go hard and vigorous until you start to get tears in your eyes.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay.
So it's not just like, it's like a forceful, in the sense, because you're trying to stimulate your vagus nerve. It takes a little.
And when we sing, for instance?
Same thing. You sing where, you know, it's hard enough that you get tears in your eyes.
I see. It's that effort.
It's that extra effort,
A bit too much. So then it would also work by gagging.
Yeah, well, gagging is, it's pretty easy to get tears in your eyes from gagging. You just have to stick something in your mouth and you get it, and that, it
very quick.
And you hold that something down your throat for any length of time, but gagging will do it. But most people don't like to gag themselves, so that's why the singing or the works for them.
The gargle, and then just keep on doing it daily, a a few times, mm-hmm. I guess.
Daily.
I mean, how would we know if the motility is happening? Like, what's the symptom?
Well, the signs of SIBO will start to diminish. You'll feel better. You'll have less bloating. You'll have more regular bowel movements. Overall, you just feel better. And the other way, see, what it's doing is stimulating the vagus nerve. The other thing that stimulates the vagus nerve is things that cause you to calm down, that cause you to go into a parasympathetic state. And one of those things is like meditation and heart math. So those
mm-hmm.
things, you know, so we want to get ourselves into that state. But those other activities, in addition, coffee enemas do the same thing. They stimulate the vagus nerve as well.
Oh, okay. I have noticed when I'm having a really good day that my bowel is more frequent.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's interesting.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all coming together now,
yeah.
You know, coming from the body understanding more than the intellect. Like the intellect, I've heard you often say what you tell me, but now I'm finally feeling it.
That's great.
You know, feeling calm and the effects of
it.
Know it.
You know what I mean? You, like, know it at the core rather than just in your head.
Yes. Yes, and then it becomes more of a habit, knowing
sure.
that's on the core. Yeah. Another question I have, I'm ready now to deal with my hernia.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an umbilical or an inguinal hernia? I forget.
Well, I'm not sure what I have, and actually it's not really been diagnosed by a general doctor, but it's a bump on the left side of my pubic hair by the...
Anyway, that's an inguinal hernia. I had a double inguinal hernia when I was a baby, like 2 months old, and I had to have surgery.
But today I hear that you don't really need a surgery?
Well, it depends. It depends on how bad it is. If it's a mild thing, then, you know, a hernia is a defect in the abdominal wall, depending, it's in the inguinal area around your umbilicus, and it allows the intestine to bump out. So what you're feeling when you feel a bump is your intestines are coming out through the muscle, a defect in the muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it's from carrying such heavy things for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, could be. I mean, but you'd have to have the defect. It happens for people who will get a hernia if they, like, really overexert. It's not going to come from carrying heavy things over a long period of time. It's generally something that makes it burst, unless there's a defect to start.
Mm. Yeah, so it could be in my genes, that's what you're saying.
Well, you know, I don't know what gene it would be, but my mm-hmm. in my family, we had 9 children, and 7 of them had hernias when they were kids.
Yeah. Well, in my family, my grandfather had hernia, and he was wearing he had to wear a belt all
uh-huh.
his life.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm ready to work on it, and I know we've gone through it in the past a few years ago, but if it's something you can add or say something right now about it too.
You know, off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of any, you know, anything at all. I mean, anything that strengthens collagen, you know, keeping the muscles strong, but hernias are not my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is a structural defect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is it for now. Thank you. Maybe more questions will come up.
Great.
And by the way, I was happy to see and I enjoyed our talk earlier today. Which
oh,
is
with him. It was great. Everybody loved him. You could see by the
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to have seen that. I've had amazing moments with him, and I'm glad that he met you and everyone in your
team. That's some really great stuff to share.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But thank you. Thank you, Dr. Itamari.
Thank you for seeing us. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So, Valerie, she's going to come to a potluck one of these times, right, Valerie?
I hope so. Unfortunately, I can't this weekend.
Okay.
I definitely want to, yes.
Good.
My question, and it's interesting, Pectisol C is part of my question.
Oh, cool.
This is a detox-related question, and I got in on Robin Openshaw's group buy of the infrared sauna.
Ooh.
So I have my own infrared sauna.
Lucky you. Yay. I'm going to come visit you. We're going to do the potluck at your house.
And what I understand is it's best to do it on an empty stomach, and I'm wondering if Pectisol C could be incorporated into that, or if it should be kept separate, or, you know, that kind of thinking. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Like, you know, they're both cleansing, but the thing with the Pectisol C is modified citrus pectin, for those of you who don't know, and it's a really good chelating agent that pulls out toxins and heavy metals out of your intestine and eliminates for you. And you need to do it away from food, right? You don't want to do it right before or after food. And so doing it in the sauna is going to keep it away from food, and I don't see any reason why not. I mean, you're activating the detox.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah, I think
it might be too
idea.
Much or what.
You know, you'll find out for yourself. Right? Whenever you over-detox, you feel miserable after. You know, if you do like a sauna for too long, some people feel miserable. Personally, I could sit in a sauna for 2 years straight at the highest temperature, and it doesn't bother me at all. I just have drinking a lot of water. And do make sure you stay hydrated. That's super important.
Right. I usually make about 16 ounces of a tea. I've been using ginger tea. But I've also experimented some. I'm going to do dandelion root, I think, as well. I don't know if that'd be too much detox.
You just see how you feel. Everything about health is a matter of your own personal preference, right? It's really about how much carbohydrate is the right amount of carbohydrate. It depends, right, on the person and usually on the day and the other situations. How much detox is too much for some people? 5 minutes in the sauna is too much to start. They start with one or two. So I think, you know, just find your way with it and find the ideal for you. And if you're feeling better and better, you know you're on the right track.
It takes a lot out of me. I don't deal with heat very well. I haven't for many, many years. So I'm trying to adjust to it. Excuse me?
How long do you go in for?
I go for 40 minutes.
Oh, you're hardcore, aren't you?
You know, it takes about 15 or a little more to start sweating good.
Okay.
And then I want to get a good sweat going, so.
When you say you don't feel so great after, do you feel just depleted?
I feel, yeah, I'm tired and, depleted. And then what I do typically is I'll just go and lie down for about 15 minutes, and then I'll take my shower.
Okay. And do you make sure that when you're drinking tea, I would add some electrolytes. So
I've been doing that after. Should I do it soon?
After, yeah. No, definitely after, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm using Seeking Health electrolytes for that.
Yeah.
And I think there's something interesting that there's some issues you don't want to use the berry flavored if you have, and I don't remember exactly what it is, but I do have that.
it may be
the MAOs or something else, and I don't remember why he said that.
Hmm.
So I'm going to try to stick with the orange flavor.
I've never used your electrolytes.
They're pretty nice, but.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know, because if there's the over-the-counter stuff you can get at Whole Foods, it usually has sugars and other garbage in it.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Ooh. But that was pretty much my question. I'm really working on incorporating more detox and doing the sauna as much as I can stand it.
How often do you do it?
It's sporadic. I've been doing it at least once a week, but sometimes up to 3 times a week.
Yeah. Some people try to do it every day, and I think that might be too much and may be too depleting. So I think 3 times a week is a good target. And then the other thing is, if you want to add castor oil packs, not on the same day, maybe on other days, but I never thought about it. You can actually probably do a castor oil pack while in there. I wonder how that would work.
I don't know.
Might be too much detox at the time, but I was thinking like afterwards. like, you know, or maybe the same day afterwards. So you go to bed and you just put the castor oil pack on and do it overnight.
I've been doing it in the morning because that's easier for me to have an empty stomach at that time.
Okay, got it. Got it.
I need to experiment with doing it later at night because it's supposed to help you sleep better.
I would experiment with the different times a day and find what works best for you.
Yeah, yeah. I will.
Okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
But too close to bed, because too much heat too close to bed can actually not, you know, so you want to have the right proximity to bed.
Yeah.
Cool.
I haven't tried that yet.
Enjoy it. I actually have a sauna, but it's one of those portable, you know, they're not as fun as going into the big box and sitting there and cozying up with a book and sweating and reading and whatever.
Yeah, and this one has a CD player. It's up above.
Oh.
A radio and CD.
You can play all your NEPT modules.
Yeah, if I could get them on a CD.
With the CD. Yeah.
Do that.
Hmm. Well, most computers these days don't even have CD players anymore. But wow, it's wild that it's a CD. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have them on CD.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks,
Valerie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm going to take a sip of water, and we're going to go on to Cece. Give me a second. All right. Cece, how are you today?
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So, okay, so I have a couple of questions. I just want to follow up with the Pectisol. You've talked about that before, and I just want to be clear about it. So, you know, I tend toward diarrhea when something new is introduced. So does Pectisol encourage diarrhea? I mean, more frequent going, because I already go like 3 times a day. I don't have diarrhea now, but.
No, it generally doesn't. I mean, you'd have to play. It's the same thing like anything else. You have to check it out. But it binds things in your intestine. So
I
always tell people when they're doing something like that or charcoal or any of those things that bind, that you make sure that you're taking some extra water. So if you just find the right amount of water to take with it, you'd probably be okay. But I would start with you. I would start just a little dose. I would get the powder, not the capsules, because then you can control the dose. And just start with a little bitty amount.
Is Pectisol the name of the company?
Yes. Yes. The Pectisol, I think it's the name of the product.
So what's the name of the company?
Well, I don't remember. Eugenics or something like that. I don't remember.
Okay.
Just look up Pectisol. It's actually modified citrus pectin.
Modified.
That's what the generic name, if you will, is.
The generic name, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think I've done, I did an Ayurvedic liver cleanse, and it must have been the same kind of thing that it binds, and it was very good for me. So this will probably be good also. Yeah.
Go slow because you do tend to, you know, be a sensitive system, and you may end up taking half the dose that's recommended. Right?
You do this, is that what you said, on an empty stomach? Is that what you
want to do it on an empty stomach because it will bind to the minerals in the foods that you've eaten if there's food.
So is that like before you go to bed? Or when you first get up in the morning?
It could be fine. When you first get up would be fine. You just want to wait at least, I would say, wait at least an hour before you eat, and I would probably go an hour and a half to 2 after eating just because the stuff's still in your system. So an hour after eating, and 2 hours after eating, an hour and a half to 2 hours after, or 1 hour before.
I am writing this down. 2 hours after eating.
Yeah, you just and don't take supplements with it or around it. Because it'll bind.
Okay. Or 1 hour before. And you suggest this every day. Should I do it every day?
It's usually done every day, but again, you find your groove with it.
Okay.
And whenever you're doing a detox or cleansing thing, it's oftentimes good to do on-off. So maybe, you know, you could do 5 days on and 2 days off, or you can do 6 days on and 1 day off. You could do a couple of 3 weeks on and then take 2 or 3 days off. I mean, just find that groove for you, but it.
Okay.
You know, just.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Magnesium glycinate. You had suggested that I get that product by Design for Health.
Yep.
And so that's a powder, correct?
Yeah, I think you can get it either way, but I prefer the powder because you're better off with powders and liquids.
So I would put that in my smoothie? Or
yeah, you could. I usually take magnesium away. I just usually take it separate from food, but yeah, I don't see any reason. I don't see any reason why you can't take it in your smoothie.
So it must be a nice tasting thing.
It's nothing tasting.
It's yucky?
Nothing. No, nothing.
Oh, it's a nothing.
Yeah, and I would try it first. You know, if you've ever done the liquid magnesium, oh my God, that stuff's yucky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the magnesium usually doesn't have much of a taste. If you just drink it separately, it may taste a little chalky, but I try it first, you know, put a little in water before you put it in a smoothie, before you put anything in a smoothie.
Yes, I know.
Smoothie, I would try it just separate from the smoothie.
And should I have that before I go to bed? I think you had suggested that to me.
It calms you down and relaxes you, but if there's particular times during the day when you find yourself more stressed or tense, you can take it then. If you're taking it for patient, first of all, you wouldn't take this kind. You wouldn't take glycinate because that's why I told you to get that. But if you're taking citrate, you do it at bedtime. It does relax you. So magnesium in general. And for some people, it doesn't matter. I take it in the beginning of the day in the morning.
Okay. Now, I also, someone told me that the spray or lotion is better absorbed. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that you definitely have good absorption with it. I especially have people who have leg cramps use it that way. And the problem is it is really low dose. So I'd say if you're really, really deficient in magnesium, and how do you know? Well, you have magnesium deficiency signs, right? A lot of headaches, a lot of muscle tension, constipation, which you don't have. There's a whole bunch of others too, and hormonal things. Then you might need more, but I would say you can try it. The way I know whether it's working, I don't do just the topical because it doesn't work as well for me. If I stay away from them for too long, I get muscle cramps. And the topical, I'd have to do it for longer to get them to go away. Whereas if I take one dose of the liquid.
Yeah.
And then I'll forget because I don't like taking supplements, just to be perfectly honest. So what I'll do is I'll forget, and they don't take it for a while, and then they go, oh, why am I waking up in the middle of the night with muscle cramps in my legs again? Oh, magnesium. And then I go back.
Okay. So I could play with the spray or the lotion. And is that by the same company, Design for Health? They have that also? Do you know?
No, ancient minerals or something like
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And you can get it on Amazon. I actually found it. I was buying it. It was like $10 for this little bottle, and then I found it on Amazon for $35 for a whole gallon of it. So
goodness.
I still have tons of it. I give it away.
Okay, great. Let's see. I think I might have one more question. Is there another? I was taking vitamin C liposomal, but it didn't last very long, and it's expensive. So I don't mind doing that sometimes, but is there another liquid that I could be taking?
I don't know of another liquid. I know of powder. The problem with the powder, you have to go really carefully because your gut is sensitive.
Oh, that's right. I got that gut thing.
Right. That's
right.
Liposomal.
Yeah.
You don't need as much liposomal. Like, say if I said to you, you need take a gram 3 times a day of the powder or the liquid, or not liquid, but powder, you could probably get away with one and even less on the liposomal. So, yeah, Do you ever do muscle testing or pendulum testing of yourself on different?
Not yet. I'd like to be able to do that.
You're so energetically sensitive that that would be a good thing for you. And that's how I take my supplements. I just energetically. I usually am right, although I probably don't need that today. And I'm usually right, but sometimes I'm not. So tune in and be
really
what your body is looking for on any given day. I just read Ben Lynch's Dirty Jeans book. Actually, I listened to it. And I loved his attitude. He's like, these supplements are really supplements, right? You get into a state where you're deficient or you haven't been taking care of your genes because you didn't know about specific genetic weaknesses or whatever, and you get out of balance. You take the stuff until you don't need it anymore. You don't just, like, keep taking it for years. And for him, he said you take vacation from supplements sometimes, too. So I really enjoyed that perspective, especially from somebody who runs a supplement company and could be making a lot of money if he tells you to just take them all the time.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so just tune in. Does your body need it or not?
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We have Rich next. Let me do. Rich and Cece, you are not too far from each other. In my perspective, Massachusetts and New Hampshire, you probably think you're worlds apart.
No, we're close.
Yeah?
Well, I live in New Hampshire, and I work in Massachusetts.
Oh, you do? Okay, I thought they were right on the border. You're in Kensington, and she's in Newton, so you're probably real close to each other.
Right, exactly. So, good to talk to you. Good to be live with the crew again here. I finally was able to do a fasting insulin, and then a meal, and then a post-insulin. It was great. And I just wanted to give you what I got for results. The fasting was a little higher than what I had done 2 months ago. It was 2.4. And then the actual after the meal was 12.6. Is that?
What did you have for the meal?
I had green smoothie, and then I had some let's see, what else did I have? I had yogurt with granola in it. Cashew yogurt, yes.
Okay, and then granola was what kind of, was it a grain granola or no grain?
There was a little bit of oats, and then the rest had to do with a little bit of quinoa and some nuts and seeds, sunflower seeds.
Very good response. You didn't go too high. You didn't stay too low.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a very good result. Yep.
So it tells me that my organs are doing their job from the standpoint of producing the insulin.
Exactly. They're not because we were concerned that maybe you weren't producing enough, and that's not the case. And now overproduction, it's definitely not the case either. So I think those numbers look great.
Terrific news.
Yeah.
I also did the Dutch test and finally got the results, I guess 24 pages or whatever. And I sent that off to, Sequoia, my coach. I presume I'll be reviewing those with her on the results.
Maybe if there's time on one of your calls, right? And I know you have you guys have a larger group, but not everybody comes every time. So you may be able to, make sure you load it into your folder, your master folder.
Yes.
And then on our next group call, which I think is next week, I think our next ERC group call is next week, we can go over it.
Terrific.
And she can too. I mean, she'll give you her input too, but I'd like to go over it with you on that call.
That would be great.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Going over those tests. Anything that stood out to you? Like, I know it looks like gobbledygook when you get it back.
You know, the thing that I was looking at is where they have the visual circles with the gradients on it, where it goes green or it goes outside the limits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me, but there was some where they were actually low, and then most of them seemed to fall in the green sections.
Good.
So I guess that was encouraging.
That's encouraging. And then if there's a few that you have to change, then we change, you know? So that's good. It's much And if it was nothing, then we go, huh, scratch our head, then what's causing that? And then if it was everything was way out, they take away these starts. So, but we'll be able to make sense of it. I'll walk through it with you.
Okay, great. The other thing
beforehand, though, Rich, is read the narrative part.
Okay.
I tell people as I separate out the narrative part from the report part, the visual graphical part, and then as you're reading the narrative part, you'll be able to flip back, like they're next to each other on your desk, and you can look back and say, okay. And just to get somewhat of a sense of it, you're not going to totally get it, but that will help me when I try to explain it to you to make sense of it, because you'll have been obvious enough.
So is the results where you're actually going to be, if you were not enough particular hormone, then you would actually be getting a boost in a certain hormone or a certain foods that would help you in that area? How does it work? How do you respond to what you see from the results?
It depends on what I see, Rich. If I see, say, I see high estrogen and low testosterone in a male, we're going to be talking about certain foods and herbs that are aromatase inhibitors, if you're familiar with that term. If not, well, you will when we talk, if that's a problem for you. Look at certain things, and I'll say, huh, that's low, that's high. You may be missing certain cofactors. Here's some other nutrients or herbs or whatever. So we're going to definitely look at what's up, what's out of balance. I'm not a big fan of immediately going to say, oh, yeah, you need bioidentical hormones. But there's some cases where I look and go, you know what, in order to get you back up to speed, you're going to have to go talk to a doctor about getting some bioidenticals. Here's some guidelines that they can use. And then we'll work on fixing what's going on there.
Okay.
Right?
I also did the urine for the heavy metals. I've got a thought that I've got a bunch of heavy metals based on all the engineering and manufacturing I've done for the last 45 years. So, and I haven't got that back yet.
Okay. All right, we'll look at them when they come back, and we may not be able to do it on the same call as the Dutch, unless nobody else shows up for the call. But we'll get to them. And
okay.
Sequoia is really good at those metals. So,
oh, excellent.
And those are much, she's much, I think she has more expertise in that area than I do, personally.
Okay.
So, all right.
And one last thing is next week I'm finally going to try and go back to work full time, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh. How do you feel about that?
Well, I've been actually extending some of my work days up until about 3:30, starting around 7:30 in the morning, working through lunch. I felt pretty good. I get a little tired around 3:30, but I've noticed now that I can get through the days without that late afternoon nap, which is kind of nice. It was kind of a switch. It just stopped. I did another skiing 4 days up in Maine and found out I didn't have to rest, even though I was getting a lot of physical exercise. More than I normally do in a week. And
wow. So you don't get tired from physical exercise, but you get tired from work.
Yeah. What's that tell me? Well, one is all, you know, it's mental work. It's all a different stress as opposed to skiing is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you got the fresh air and all that.
Exactly.
Good. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing that, but good job on the insulin numbers.
Good. Excellent. Okay. That's it for me.
All right. Thanks.
You bet.
Bye. If anybody else put in numbers, and then we'll get back to you, Laura. I see you raised your hand again. QA. Let's see. There's Jay. What portable sauna do you have or would you get if you were getting a new one? Okay, so if I could and I had room, I would get one of those full-on, you know, the wood ones that you can step into. I just don't have room in my house unless I were to put it outdoors, and I don't really want to put it outdoors. I have a brand, and I told somebody the other day I would look that brand up and post it on the group, and I don't remember the name of the brand. I bought it at a show that I was at. Let me see if I can find it online. But I was at a festival, a health festival, and they had them up, and it was,
you know, kind of chilly, and every day I go in there and I check it out, and then by the third day I said, okay, I want one of these. And it's one where they're kind of made of this silvery-looking fabric, but not really fabric. It's kind of reflective type stuff, and then it has two different supposedly far infrared, and you get in and you stick your head out and read or whatever, watch stuff. Let me see if I can. And here's the thing, portable. There are some on Amazon that are like $150, $250. And my understanding, and I haven't really researched it, but when I ran into this guy that I bought it from years later, and I told him about it. He goes, oh, those are this and that. And he had all kinds of reasons why they're not tested for low EMFs and et cetera. Let me see if I can find sunlight. No, that's the big one. Because there's a lot of them, and I don't know how you would know. Momentum, this is it. I think this is it. Momentum 8098. Let me look. Yep, I see the guy. Momentum 98 was the one I got. Now, I haven't researched to see the difference, but I think he, how does it stack up to others he has here, and it probably, he has two radiators that produce it. So you get the descriptions, and then you can look it up to see. Let me give you the link to that. Now I recognize the guy. Now, of course, whoever's selling their stuff, you know. But the guy seemed on the up and up and knew a lot about health. And at the time, I didn't know you can get them on Amazon, and I never compared. But there's just like an $800 sauna versus a $200 sauna. I can't find my way back to this bar. Because I'm on Instant Teleseminar and I'm looking for Zoom. Silly me. Okay, I'm going to put this in the chat. There we go. Lynn Rose said they had several at the Mother Earth News. Lynn Rose put hers in HealthMate. So that you could check. Okay. That's what they had. Momentum 98. Yeah, that's the one I had. That's the one. Yeah, okay, cool. Cool. Well, Lynn Rose and I have the same one, so that says something. Let's see. Now, I don't use it as much as I should. I would like to. It's weird. It's wintertime. It's cold. You'd think I'd want to get in the sauna, but then I don't like getting out when I'm all hot into the cold room. So I got in a mode of doing it over Christmas break, and I was doing it like every day, every other day, and I haven't done it in a while. I think I'm going to do it tonight. You guys are inspiring me. Like, it's a great way to, because you can multitask, it's a great way to relax. So I could get in mine, I could listen to some, you know, book on tape, I can watch a video that I wanted to watch, usually educational, and then, or I could read a book, and have one, I have it in my bedroom, so you guys are inspiring me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to report back to the Vital Group tomorrow. See, now I'm making a commitment, now I have to do it. All right, I don't see any other questions, so let me do the refresh and see. Okay, and then let me go back to the chat phone and I'll undo Laura's line. Hi, Laura.
Oh, hello, Dr. Rita Marie. my question is, I've been having the flu for about 4 days now. It's been a long time since I've had one. And I was wondering if it's beneficial to fast for you know, calming it down.
Yeah, and what makes the flu? Did you get tested, or are you just assuming it's the flu because you don't feel that well?
The symptoms I sneeze, I cough, I have a headache. I sweat this morning for the first time in my bed, so I stayed longer thinking I had fever, but it was 98.1, so it's not fever. So isn't that called a flu or a cold?
that's more like a cold. I mean, flu is very specific. It's caused by the influenza virus. You usually feel much sicker than you sound or than what you do.
Okay.
So it could be just, yeah. It's, in any case, it's some sort of an upper respiratory viral thing. And what,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Fasting, are you doing high dose vitamin C and garlic and oregano and, I don't know.
Yes, I'm taking one drop. I looked at the slide of the flu.
Okay, good, yeah.
And so I'm doing three vitamins, so 3,000 vitamin C. I'm doing something else that's called Advantage. It's liquid drops with green tea and grapefruit seed extract, I think, and other things.
Okay. I would up your vitamin C. To bowel tolerance. And when I get a cold or flu, if I feel something, I haven't had a flu in years. I got a cold a few weeks back, well, back at the beginning of the year. And I just go crazy with the C. And when I do pendulum testing on myself, you know, the weight testing mm-hmm. on my, you will end up taking probably a teaspoon and a half of the powdered, like, 4 or 5 times a day. The first, when I first start feeling it, I'm just doing it every hour on the hour. I'm just, like, loading it up. So you might be able to do a little bit more and help knock it out. The other thing I find helpful is upping your vitamin D when you have something like that, but only for, like, 5 days. If you're on a good dose for you normally, up it to, you know, for about 5 days to maybe a bunch more, just get a bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about it being too much because you're not going to do it for more than 5 days. I was taking... I was probably taking 25 to 30 because I was doing the testing, the muscle testing to see how much I needed. And it kept coming out like between 20 and 30 items a day. And then when I tested after I no longer had it, my body didn't need it, you know, more than 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but as far as fasting, I mean, fasting can be helpful to speed up the recovery of things. You might actually feel worse before you get better for the first couple of days because it starts to push things out. So, but if you fast without any nutrients at all, like if you just stop all your supplements and fast, I think that might slow down the recovery a little bit.
Yeah. So what I hear is that the nutrients are beneficial when you have something like a cold.
Yeah.
Like what I have, yeah.
Okay. You can do it. I mean, that's where you're, even if you're still getting nutrition and you're getting, like, broths or, because mm-hmm. they're very nutrient-dense, right?
Right.
I just thought to ask
because I haven't eaten yet today, so I thought maybe I can go a little longer.
That's what you feel. Because typically when you're sick, you don't feel like eating. So I would honor your body.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'll sit with it. And then yesterday I made a soup, and I thought to add vitamin C in the soup, so I added rosehip.
Uh-huh.
And I also added, so the rosehip tea that usually I make tea with, I thought maybe I can just eat the little chip. You know, particles of the rosehip tea. And then I also used acorn squash, which I usually don't eat this way. And I had some carrots also in there, but a lot of green dandelion and celery. I wonder what brought my glucose to 170. I will test them separately, but I'm curious if rosehip tea would raise. I looked it up and couldn't find if rosehip, you know, what makes the tea.
It would.
I think it's tea.
Bitter and low. I would say of what you described, cooked carrots, if it was a soup, you had cooked carrots and the squash. Those are the glycemic things in there.
Yeah, because acorn squash is usually not as sweet as a pumpkin or a kabocha, right?
But it's still sweet. It's still sweet.
It's
a winter squash, so it's more starchy. It may not feel as sweet, but it's more starchy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And the carrots, too. I had carrots raised
mm-hmm.
my
blood.
Cooked ones.
But I'm happy that it – I'm sorry?
I just said I've had carrots raise my blood sugar, the cooked carrots, but not raw carrots.
Yes, and it was pretty well cooked.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
You release a lot of the sugars, and they're much sweeter that way than if you eat them raw.
Yeah. But it went down quite fast. Within an hour, it went 207. So.
Oh, that's good. Did you take it multiple times in a row? Because whenever I get a reading like that, I go, huh, why did I get such a high reading? I'll do it right away. And if I get it again, then I do it a third time, and then I know that it's probably a problem. But if I do it again and it goes down, then I do it again and it's down again, then I know it was just a spurious. Sometimes you just get weird, you know.
Well, it went down. I did it right after 170 and went down to 150, and I didn't do it again. So
okay.
You're suggesting to try it.
It was coming down. And that was at 45 minutes?
No, it was right after. So from 170 went to 150.
No, I mean
after.
At 170. How far after you had the soup was the 170?
Right after.
Right after?
Right after the meal.
Okay, so you'd eaten the meal, you finished it, and then you did it. You know, the right afters are not necessarily going to give you lots of information. So you might get a spike up because you just ate it, and then, you know, your insulin comes in. So, and then the 150 was right after that?
Yeah, right after the 170.
You were just up and then down. So it might have been that the starchy stuff spiked it up, but it came right back down. You produced enough insulin to get it down.
Are you suggesting that right after the meal, having a high number doesn't affect our, you know, the stiffening of the arteries so quickly?
Well, if it's up for a second, right? Like, say it's just up, that's what I say, if it really is up, mm-hmm. but then the glucose brings it down, that's different than if it's up, you know, even for a few minutes. So it's not something you want to have happen. It's something you want to avoid.
But at least I wouldn't. I don't worry anymore as I used to. You know, when I first did the sweet spot or before Vegan. Now I'm quite relaxed when I see my glucose high because I know it will go down.
Yeah.
But I know that it can have an effect.
Yeah, it can.
Could,
it depends on how there. Like if it was 170 and then it was 150, but you didn't continue to take it and you took it 15 or an hour later and it was down to 107, you don't know what it did in that time. So it could have been up in that range, you know, that above 120, 140 range for a while. You just don't know. The things I would suspect, though, would be the squash and the carrots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
I hope you feel soon.
I'm sorry? Oh, feel good soon? Yes. Actually, after speaking to the Pectasol man in Canada, my head was so clear. I have no headache.
Well, you know, just to take some of the stuff that your friend Joseph talked about and think about what is this? What's the meaning of these symptoms?
Yes, I think for me it's that I just needed to sit at home and just be with myself. Because it's a cold that I got from having an open window at night, and there was wind and it came to my neck, went to my feet. It's not a cold that I got from someone, and everyone here seems to be sick. There's something going around. So I got it from me. So I think it's a sign, just sit with myself, and that's what I've been doing.
I like it. The body. I knew for me it was a sign that I needed to slow down.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, I think it's a sign because I was pretty anxious about my future or my present where things are stuck, or at least they're not moving as fast as I want.
Right.
Or expected, and so every morning I would wake up with a anxiety in the stomach, like the stomach was tight, and it was before I had any thoughts. But of course, the previous day I had thoughts. So somehow something clicked, you know, 2 days ago, something clicked, and I'm much more relaxed and feel happier. You know, excited about life. which,
nice.
And before I was more a bit hiding because things were not happening. Yeah.
Moved. You just moved to a different part of the, you know, the other, it's a different country, and it's, you know, from the east to the west. There's a lot of change that you've got going on, and I think being gentle with yourself with it and just allowing yourself to be, and it's understandable that you would feel some anxiety about that, and then having a tool where you can basically climb yourself, get yourself down off the wall, which it sounds like you're there. And I hear such a difference in you, Laura, over the years that I've known you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thanks to you, especially, and Lynn. I can speak. I can speak my voice.
I know. To be shy. I always remembering that you used to be too shy to get on. You'd go, I don't know if I want to speak on the calls. And now very comfortable.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I have moved forward quite a lot. Yes. And what's interesting is that I thought that if I were to move here, like all my beliefs would freshen up, you know, into more positive beliefs. But they're even stronger here, you know, and they're stronger because I surround myself with these beliefs, because I'm alone in the space, so I have a lot of time to feel them, and so I also made a decision to move them out, so that also helped me feel more excited in my body. And it's interesting, once I felt that way, then I got a phone call and things started to move. You know, something that I wanted to do, it moved forward. So, yes, these beliefs really affect your present moment.
Totally does. And what I loved, and I want to share with the rest of the group, was what Joseph said earlier, was that every situation you can look at as a challenge or an opportunity. Which is it, right? Which is it? He talked about in particular, you get fired. Is that the end of the world? Is that a bad thing? Well, it depends. You choose whether it is or not. And whichever one of those you choose is how it impacts your life and your body. So if you choose to look at getting fired as, okay, I got an opportunity now. Maybe it wasn't the right job for me, and, you know, my boss did me a favor by letting me go to be free to find another one, right? And I will trust that I will find another one that's even better. Or you can go, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? I'm terrible. My boss fired me. I'm no useless. I'm going to die. I'm not going to be able to eat. And whichever way you choose to look at it shapes the impact of that incident on your life and on your health. So let's choose to look at things as opportunities versus challenges. Always look for that opportunity.
Yes, and that made me think of, you know, the people with whom I may have difficulty being, to really express myself fully, you know, put in my head that maybe I have to not live close to them. But after this talk today, I thought, maybe I could have another attitude. Maybe I could challenge myself and not have these continuous negative thoughts in me,
right.
Like, oh, it won't be possible. Oh, it will limit my life. Maybe I was thinking maybe that could have a positive effect.
Absolutely. And the other thing, what I loved about what he said, which I want to share with everybody, is the labels, right? We label things. We label symptoms as diseases when symptoms are just really a signal from your body. Something's out of balance, and it may be something that's energetically out of balance or physically out of balance or emotionally out of balance or spiritually out of balance, and it's a signal that, hey, let's pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we going to do with this information, and how are we going to interpret this information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was imagining of seeing you both on Facebook. together, you know, with your video Facebook, the interviews you have on Facebook, and then more of your students could hear.
Yeah, we could do
both
that.
Of you together.
Well, I told him, because I don't know him, you know, very well, and the other people I've done on Facebook I either know or, this, you know, I know them or know of them through other people. So I just wanted to see how it went over. And it certainly can be something, if he's open to it, that we share on Facebook. I'd want to be a little more distinct than we were there, right? And it would be geared towards the general public and what you can do for yourself about these emotions and these attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Would you like me to ask him, or?
Sure. I mean, it's not going to be, I would say, probably until May, because my schedule, my life, everything is pretty busy through the end of. And then, you know, I'm just doing, so I would say it probably wouldn't be until May. I was going to say April or May, but April I'm actually going to go to Italy to see my son, yay, who I haven't seen.
Yay, oh, how exciting.
Yeah, long time, so I'm excited.
You may be able to meet him, well, if you have time.
he's in Barcelona now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Itamahi. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Laura. Anytime.
Thank you. All right.
Have a good
evening.
Say it again.
Have a wonderful evening.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I want to try to go to bed early tonight. I've been going to bed too late lately because of all the work I've had to do. So we'll see. If everything holds up okay, I'll be going to bed at a reasonable hour. So, thank you.
I'll think of you.
All right. I don't see any more hands. Let me look at the Q&A. Jay's was the last question, and Jay's still was the last question. So I think we're done for the night. So we went, you know, an hour and 15. So these are supposed to go between an hour and a half. Sometimes they go two. So it's good for me to have it end a little bit earlier today. I don't see anything else in the chat that we need. Lynn, is there anything else that I need to know about or talk about? I don't see anything. Mostly people sharing links and talking about saunas. You guys got me inspired, so I think I want to go sit in my sauna either tonight or tomorrow and you know, really take advantage of. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of the night. I'll open up the line so we can all say bye. And bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Emery.
You're so welcome.
All right.